Good morning, everyone. It's great to be here with you this morning. As already been said, I'm Robbie. I'm 26. I'm married to Tara. We live in the centre of the universe, that is Bleary. We've made the trek down this morning. It's great to be with you. I'm a qualified RE teacher, secondary school. I did that for a year part-time, and I'm now full-time youth pastor down the road in Emmanuel Church in Lurgan. So I've got some of our young lads here with me this morning. So we were joking before, some people were saying they're here to support, but they might be my hecklers here this morning. We'll see how we get on. You guys have been journeying through the book of James, is that right? Looking at character under construction. So I'm going to be continuing on that journey this morning, looking at James chapter 3 from verse 1 to 12. So we're going to be looking at taming the tongue. Okay, so this isn't one of those like big like faith-inspiring like messages. It's been like deeply challenging, but I hope you'll be blessed by it and encouraged by it this morning. Hopefully you know by now, as you've been journeying through the book of James, that it's almost certainly written by Jesus' half-brother, James, self-explanatory. But at that time, James was the leader of the Jerusalem church, so he was writing as a pastor to the dispersed people, giving them instructions in the face of difficulties. So in this book, we've got many practical instructions from a pastor to his people to help them know what it looks like to live a life full of faith, following Jesus in a hostile world where they were facing lots of difficulties. And so this little book of James, these five chapters, we need to take note of what he says, because this was his opportunity to instruct all the known Jewish Christians in that world at the time. And of all of the things that he could have included, of all the things that he could have said, inspired by the Spirit, inspired by God, he chose to include these words in these five chapters. And so we need to take note, because in these five chapters are some of the best, most important practical instructions for us as Christians as we seek to live a life full of faith, following Jesus in a hostile post-Christian culture where we face lots of difficulties. So let's get into to what he has to say, but I'll just pray first, and then we'll read through the passage this morning together. So, Father God, we just want to thank you for your word. God, we want to honor your word. We thank you that it is God-breathed. It is God-inspired. We thank you that your word is alive and active, and so we come with an expectation and an anticipation that you're going to speak to us through it this morning. And so I pray, Holy Spirit, would you challenge us? Would you convict us? Would you encourage us? Would you help us to live more into your ways and your truth and your life, Jesus? Come and speak, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So let's read what James has to say here in James 3, 1 to 12. If I flick on. Here we go. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. That's challenging for any of us that are teaching. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. We put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us. We can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. These are deeply challenging words this morning, and right at the heart of this book, there's five chapters. This is James chapter 3. Right in the middle of this book, he chooses to talk about taming the tongue, the importance of our words. It's almost like the words that we say impact everything else that goes on in our lives and what's going on around us. And so just as we get started this morning, I want to own up, like I grew up with two very competitive brothers. I play a bit of football for Loch Gall, so I grew up in the football culture, and I was often nicknamed Negative Norton when I was growing up. So I am probably not the best person to be given this talk on our words, but the Lord works in mysterious ways. So yeah, I've been deeply challenged as I've been preparing this, and I want you to hear my heart in this. You know, everything that I'm saying this morning, I'm saying to myself as well as we go through this. And secondly, it's important to note just at the outset that I don't think this side of heaven we're ever going to get to the point where we're fully in control of the words that we say, where we fully got control of our tongue. That's why James preludes everything that he says with those words. We all stumble in many ways. And he goes on to say that no human being can tame the tongue. You know, like, are any of us so in control of our words that we've got no regrets, that we've caused no past wounds, or we've got no words that we would like to take back? Like, we all stumble in this at times, don't we? And so having said that, just because we're never going to reach perfection with the words that we say, doesn't mean that this isn't something that we need to address and think about as Christians. Just like we want to become more and more like Christ, you're talking about character under construction, knowing that we're never going to fully be like Jesus, but we're still striving to become more and more like him each day with every moment that we have on this earth. And so we want to be Christ-like. We want to bear his image to the world. And so we need to think about the words that we use and our speech. And so as we get started, just the first point, our words are powerful. Our words are so powerful. The Bible has a lot to say about the power of our words. In Hebrews, it says that God upholds the universe by his powerful word. God spoke creation into existence with the words that he said. He created us in his image by his words. If you think about the Ten Commandments, how many of the Ten Commandments can we break with our speech? You can worship other idols with your words. You can take the Lord's name in vain with your words. You can dishonor your mother and father with your words. You can lie with your words. You can complain about what others have and covet what others have by just complaining about that and being envious of that. We can commit adultery with the lustful words that we say. Our words are powerful. There's about 90 proverbs that talk about our speech. That's more than talks about money or sex or family. And we all know that, like, Proverbs is a book about living well and living wisely. And so if we want to live well and we want to live wisely, then we've a lot to learn about the power of our words and our speech. So our words have immense power. And you'll all be familiar with that phrase, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Like, whoever coined that phrase is like, I need to tame my tongue, because it's absolute nonsense. Okay, it's just not true. It's lies. Words hurt people. No one stays in hospital forever with a broken bone, but counselors' sofas are warmed week after week with people who are searching for healing from the harmful words that have been spoken over their lives. Some of the things that we hate most about ourselves are the things that other people have said to us or about us. Our words have immense power. And so James uses three images to highlight the power of our words here in this passage. Firstly, he says that our tongue is like a bit in a horse's mouth. Using a tiny piece of metal, a jockey can control a 1,300-pound horse. A bit is merely the size of your hand, but with it, you can control one of the most muscular mammals on the earth with relative ease. And it's almost like if you can get control of your tongue, it'll help you can control the rest of your body. The rest of your body will be disciplined if you can control your tongue. Secondly, our tongue is like a rudder. It's hidden beneath the surface, but it creates major outward outcomes. A cargo ship the size of 4 football pitches is directed by a rudder the size of a jet ski. And so your tongue can determine your direction in life. Like a rudder on a ship, your tongue can steer your path in life. A single phrase can destroy a relationship. An outburst could cost you your job. A lie can shatter trust. And finally, our tongue is like a spark in a forest. Your tongue can have mass impact. It starts small, but it grows into a blaze that engulfs everything in flames. And so a rumor is a spark, but a ruined reputation is a wildfire. An angry rant on Facebook is a spark, but it can lead to wildfire in the comments. A little lie is a spark, but it can burn your trustworthiness to the ground. And so James uses these three images to highlight that your tongue, one of the smallest organs in your body, can have the strongest impacts, good or bad, on your life and on other people's lives. And so our words are powerful. And our words can be powerfully good, or our words can be powerfully bad. James says that with our mouths we can bless and we can curse. And Aesop, an early church father, says that the tongue is the best and worst of things. There's people who come to church on a Sunday and they sing praise to God, and then they go out to lunch to share the latest gossip, or people who say their morning prayers and then go into work with an agenda and put other people down so that they can get ahead, or people who do their quiet time with the Lord and then they hop on social media and share angry rants and enforce their opinions, blessing and cursing all with the same tongue. And James says this ought not to be so. And Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. On one hand, our words can bring death and evil and destruction, but on the other hand, our words can bring life and hope and blessing. When you speak negatively, when you lie, when you gossip, when you put other people down, you are declaring and advancing and partnering with the kingdom of darkness. But when you speak positively, when you speak hope, when you speak life, when you encourage, when you uplift, when you tell the truth, you are declaring and partnering and advancing the kingdom of light. So as the great Uncle Ben from Spider-Man once said, with great power comes great responsibility. The tongue is powerful. Your words are powerful. How are you going to use them? On the one hand, our words have the power to harm the people that we actually love the most. How many times have you caused hurt by saying something that you regret? Our words can make us wish we had a time machine. Sometimes the moment the words spill out of our mouths, we wish we could take them right back. It's almost like that toothpaste analogy. Once the toothpaste is out of the tube, you can't get it back in. Once our words are out there, they're out there. And if I'm being really honest and vulnerable with you this morning, one of my biggest regrets was back in school. I was bantering back and forth with one of my mates. We were slagging each other off, as young lads do. And he said something that hit a nerve with me. And I thought, right, I said something back that I knew would hit a nerve with him. And he went home sick that afternoon, and he was off the next day unwell. And I thought nothing of it, just thought he was sick. And a few days later, he informed me that he actually went home because of the words that I'd said to him. And that hit me deep. Like, I wanted the ground to swallow me up. Like, I had caused hurt and pain to somebody that I actually really cared about, a good friend of mine. Thankfully, we're still really good friends today. I was one of his best men, and he was one of mine. But I'm telling you this story because actually he was dealing with just some self-confidence stuff around his image. So the words that I said, the wound cut so deep, and the smallest negative comment can actually hurt the people that we love the most. So we need to be careful with the words that we say. But the opposite of this is also true. We read in Proverbs 18, a person's words can be life-giving water. Words of true wisdom are as refreshing as a bubbling brook. They can bring life to people. They can be refreshing for people. And another story for you. There's a young lad who came home from school one day with a letter. The school had given him a letter, and he said, go home and give this to your mother. Only your mum is to read this letter. And so he gives it to his mum, and she opens it up. And of course, the boy wants to know what's written in the letter. Mum, what does it say? What does it say? And she begins to well up with tears, and she reads it, and it says, your son is a genius. We don't have the teachers to train him. Please teach him yourself. And this lad then grew up, and into adulthood, his mother passed away, and he was going through her stuff. And he came across this letter from when he was a boy, back when he was in school, and he opened up the letter, and he read the words, your son is mentally deficient. We don't have space for him in our school. He is expelled. Do you know who that was? That was Thomas Edison, the man who invented the light bulb, one of the greatest inventors of all time. And he went on to say this in his diary. He said, Thomas Edison was a mentally deficient child whose mother turned him into the genius of the century. Thomas Edison's mother didn't speak negatively over his life. She spoke positivity into him. She encouraged him, gave him positive encouragement. And that determined the direction of this young lad's life, who became one of the greatest inventors. And as Christians, we are called to bring light into the world. We have a unique opportunity to encourage the people around us and to speak life over them. We can speak life and hope and blessing into our town, into our friends and families, into our workplaces, into our churches, into certain situations. We have an opportunity to usher in the kingdom of God into people's lives, into our town, by being a people that speak truth and speak life. You know, we live in a world where there's so much negativity on the news and in the media, and we as Christians have good news. We have an opportunity to speak life and hope into people's lives. And so with great power comes great responsibility. And James tells us that we need to get control of the words that we say. If you want to be full of faith, living for Jesus in this hostile post-Christian culture where we face lots of difficulties, then you need to learn to control your tongue and use it in the right way. And so our words are powerful. Our words can be used for good or for bad. So what are we to do? What should we do? We're kind of in this dilemma where James says you need to get control of the words that you say, but you actually can't tame your tongue. So what do we do? We can't just not speak for the rest of our lives because we're afraid of saying the wrong thing. So how can we begin to control our tongue? How do we go about using our words for blessing instead of cursing? Just five kind of short points here to help us think about this. Firstly, we need to allow God to work in our heart, in our hearts. If we look again at verse 8, James says that no human being can tame the tongue. He doesn't say that no one can. God, the one who created your tongue, can help you tame your tongue. And the way that we do that is we allow God into our heart to bring change and transformation in our heart from the inside out. Listen to these words in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34 to 35. Jesus says, "You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him." If you have envy or selfish ambition in your hearts, then you're more likely to put other people down out of jealousy or manipulate your words so that you can get ahead or to show yourself in a better light. But if you're content and you're at peace with who you are, who you've been created to be, with what you've been given, then you're more likely to prefer others, to want the best for them, and to speak blessing over their lives. Our language is an overflow of our heart. If you're carrying around jealousy or envy, sooner or later that's going to come out. If you're carrying around and harboring bitterness in your heart or hatred towards someone, sooner or later that's going to come out in the words that you say. You know, when you're speaking to someone about somebody else, and you can just tell that they're holding a grudge because of like the words that they're using and the tone that they're using. Sooner or later, this comes out in our words, what's going on in our heart. You see it with like young couples. They start to develop emotions and feelings for each other in their hearts. And it's only a matter of time before somebody says those words, "I love you." What's going on in our heart comes out in our speech. That's why Paul says in Romans, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that he was raised from the dead, you shall be saved. Because what's going on in your heart overflows out into your speech. You speak what reveals, you speak what is going on in your heart. So we need to be a people that are continually presenting and examining our hearts before God, allowing him to come in and to reveal the stuff that shouldn't be there. And when God does reveal stuff, because I'm telling you there will be stuff, we need to be willing to put the hard and painful work in of dealing with it. And so I wonder what's going on in your heart this morning. What stuff that we need to deal with to ensure that we are people that speak words of life and not words of death. Secondly, we need to remember that we're going to have to give an account. The next few verses in this passage in Matthew, Jesus goes on to say, "I tell you that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word that they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned." That's challenging. Remember that you're going to have to give an account for every empty word that you've spoken, for every word that's not conducive to the glory of God. And so a good question to ask yourself if you want to be somebody that is taming your tongue and getting control of the words that you say is, are you going to want to have to explain this to Jesus on the day of judgment? Thirdly, back in James chapter 1, he gives us some very helpful advice. I don't know if you've talked about that little verse previously in this series, but in James chapter 1, verse 19, he says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. God gave us two ears and one mouth, so we need to listen twice as much as we speak. If you want to use wiser words, then you need to listen more and speak less. When you listen with intention, then you'll begin to understand where the other person is coming from. When you feel conflict arise, try and hear from the other person's perspective. And so we need to be people that are quick to listen and slow to speak. And slow to become angry. If we are slow to become angry, then we're less likely to say something we regret in an angry outburst. And saving a relationship is much more important than winning a heated debate or a heated argument. Fourth, we need a feast on the Word of God. Matthew 4:4 tells us that man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Allowing the Word of God to dwell in us will help us use our tongue to glorify God. As we study, as we learn, as we take in Scripture, the Word of God begins to do its own spiritual work in us. As the words of God are digested, as the bread of life, they begin to form our thinking and our affections. The Word of God will become written on our hearts and it will overflow out into our everyday conversations. My dad's from England. He grew up in England. My grandparents are from England. He met my mum from here and they moved here. And often people ask my dad, like, where are you from? Where's that accent from? Or where are your parents from? Or who do you belong to? And I imagine if we spent so much time in the Word of God, like, just go with me here. I know it's a stretch. But imagine we developed a Jesus-like language, right? Where people actually noticed something different about us. Where we actually spoke with a different tone, a different accent. People were like, who do you belong to? Why is that so different? We speak with a different type of language. This is how we're to be set apart from the world. And finally, speak evil of no one. We're told in Titus 3:2. That's challenging, especially whenever people can be mean and nasty and they can hurt us. We're told to speak evil of no one. And Paul goes on in Ephesians in chapter 4. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. That old phrase that many parents have probably used with their kids, if you've got nothing nice to say, say nothing at all, is a pretty helpful guide here. If it doesn't glorify God in some way or encourage the listener, then it's probably not worth saying. And you see this around schools all the time. This acronym for THINK is a good way to test your words. Is it true? Is it helpful? Is it important? Is it necessary? Is it kind? But actually, Peter goes a step further to say, like, not just if you've nothing nice to say, don't say anything at all. He actually says that you need to bless those who curse you. He says, don't repay evil with evil, but on the contrary, bless, in 1 Peter 3:9. Like, this is Christ-likeness. This is Christian maturity. This is the enemy love that we're called to. This reflects the heart of the Father. This is an opportunity to bless others and to advance and extend the kingdom of God. This is important. Paul goes on to say in Romans, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I've got a bit of a funny video that I'm going to share with you that helps kind of encapsulate this point. And then I'm going to just wrap up with a few thoughts and pray for you after that. So I'm hoping we can get this video.
Now, in this game, I want you to call me an idiot. I'm going to try to get you to stop being mean. You can make fun of my high forehead, my pointy nose. You can make fun of my ugly clothes. Here's how the game works. It's pretty brilliant. I'm going to try to get you to stop being mean. And if I can stop you from being mean, I win. But if I can't stop you and you keep being mean to me, you win. Okay? So the goal is not to give up. You call me an idiot and you keep making fun of me. I'm going to try to stop you. On the count of three, everyone say action. One, two, three.
Action!
Call me an idiot.
You're an idiot.
What'd you say?
You're an idiot.
You're an idiot.
You're ugly.
That hurts my feelings.
Yeah, like I care.
I'm going to get you in trouble.
Sure, short stuff.
I'm taller than you. Shut up. You call me an idiot one more time and I will windmill kick your face.
Like I care. Like you could do anything in those clothes.
These clothes are freaking awesome, okay?
Sure, plaid and sweater vest.
Oh, you have eyes. You can see. Stop being mean.
I hate your face.
Stop being mean.
I hate blonde people.
All right, give her a big hand clap. She did great. All right, now hold on, hold on. Good job. All right. I tried to stop you. I couldn't. You did a great job. We're going to play one last time. Same rules. You can call me an idiot. I'm going to try to stop you. Don't let me stop you, okay? You keep being mean to me. You think I can stop her?
No.
No. No. All right, I'll try. Here we go. On the count of three, everyone say action. One, two, three.
Action.
Go ahead and call me an idiot.
You're an idiot.
Oh, you think I'm an idiot?
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes I do stupid things. That's true.
Yeah, you do. You always do stupid things.
I know. You're so smart. You're so lucky.
Yes, I am.
You're awesome.
Thank you. And you're not.
I know. We established that. Cool. Look, my happiness is not based on whether you think I'm cool or not. I'm going to be happy even if you hate my guts.
Okay.
And I'll always be nice to you, sweetheart.
Okay. No.
Isn't she lovely?
Thank you.
You're welcome. I won. Give me a big hand clap. That was awesome.
So that's a kind of funny way just to show you of actually how we can overcome evil with good. You know, the first time they did that, I could have maybe got one of the lads up and tried to do that live, but that was too risky. So I thought, we'll use the video. And excuse the American kind of cheesiness in the video, but it helps kind of get the point across. The first time they tried to do it, he kept just being nasty and mean, speaking evil, not nice words back, and it just was getting worse and worse. It wasn't helping the situation. The second time, he speaks words of encouragement, of blessing, of life. He's nice back, and it completely disarms the girl and completely just stops the evil and the nastiness from her side. And this is how we're called to use our words, to actually bless those who curse us, to overcome evil with good. This is what we're called to as Christians, and this is powerful. This is powerful. This is not just like a nice talk, and I hope you go away today going, oh, that was good, like I'll try and use my words a bit better. Like, this is the word of God, and it tells us that this is life and death. This is important. And so it's important that we think about this morning. You know, Jesus said, by this people will know that you are my disciples, how you love one another. And we can love people through the words that we say. We know that the book around, you know, your love languages and all of that, one of the love languages is words of affirmation. It's a form of loving people. And we can be different to the world. We can reveal God's love through the words that we say. This is how we're to be set apart from the world. We can overcome the negative, pessimistic, often dark and hopeless world that we live in with the positive, hope-filled, life-giving kingdom perspective that we have. And so just as I close, I just want to leave a moment here for you to reflect where you are. Because I know as I've been preparing this talk this week, I've had to allow God to come and work in my heart. There have been areas where I've had to repent of things that I've said that just weren't words of life. So this is important. So I just take a minute to invite the Holy Spirit to come and to highlight stuff that we need to work on. Can we do that? Can we just take a minute just on your own to reflect? I'll pray and we'll close off in a minute. Just invite the Holy Spirit to highlight any areas in your heart. Invite God to come and do his work in your heart to reveal things that we need to deal with so that we can become a people who speak words of life and not words of death. So we invite you, God, to come and examine our hearts. Reveal anything in there that shouldn't be there. Would you speak to us? Maybe you have bitterness about someone because of something that they've maybe said to you, and you need to take a moment this morning to forgive that person. Maybe you need to ask for forgiveness for something that you've said to someone else. Maybe even God just wants to highlight somebody to you in this moment that you could speak words of encouragement to this week. That you could maybe send a text to or meet for coffee and speak words of life over them and encourage them. Maybe you've unintentionally spread a rumor or gossip that's so easy to get dragged into that. And you need to repent of that this morning. So Holy Spirit, come. And as I've been praying this week, and even as I'm standing here, just really have a sense that there's maybe somebody in the room this morning where negative words have been spoken over your life, and you've believed those lies, and they're holding you back from stepping into the desires and the things that God has for you. And if that's you, I'd love to just pray with you at the end. One of my favorite things about doing talks is, like, yes, preparing it and delivering a message that God's given, but it's praying it into people. And so there's space at the end. You can chat to any of the leaders here for people just to pray this message into your heart, and that we would leave here changed and transformed, being people that speak words of life and not death. So let's be a people that speak with a different language, a different tone. And this is our opportunity to be set apart and to reveal God to others in the world and advance the kingdom of God. And so, Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for your challenging word. And I just pray that, God, you would help us to tame the tongue. We cannot do this on our own, and we need your help. So would you come and would you bring change and transformation in our hearts? Would you continue to highlight and reveal stuff that we need to work through in order to partner with you in bringing your kingdom into the world? God, help us to recognize that there's death and life in the power of our tongue, in the power of our words. So would you help us to listen to you, to be attentive to you as we move forward, looking out for opportunities in our workplaces, in our schools, in our churches, in our spheres of influence, the opportunities where we can speak your words of truth and life and hope and blessing into people's lives and over people's situations. And so would you fill us up right now, Holy Spirit, and would you send us out in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.